Do you have another song you're going to do, or? Okay. As we look into the Word of the Lord today, I want to read some scripture from the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. I want to stop reading. That's reading the first 12 verses of Genesis chapter 4 for my scripture reading today. And the title of my message today is Gone, but not silenced. And in these few verses here that I have read concerning Cain and Abel, there are so many things that we can see in this. When I studied this, I thought about, from those few verses of Scripture, how many different sermons could really be preached, how many different angles could really be looked at from those verses of Scripture. Brother Wheat this morning spoke actually in the Sunday school hour about several thoughts that I had on my heart when I read these verses. And I believe that what he said is absolutely right, and the Bible will bear it out. And I'm, if I'm not mistaken, he has made this statement before us the last two Sunday school classes that we've had, and that is that sin, and when we sin, doesn't only affect our lives, it does affect the lives of other people. And we can see how that through Adam's disobedience there in the garden, when Adam disobeyed God, the Bible teaches us that it brought sin not only upon him, but upon his posterity from that time forward. Paul expressed it in this way. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul said, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so we can see in that what it did when Adam chose to disobey God. And in these verses here that we have read concerning Cain and Abel, Adam's first two sons to be born, we can sure see the effect that sin was already having upon the human race. We could, in these verses from Genesis chapter 4, we could talk today about the first murder to ever take place among the human family. But you can see in that after Adam had disobeyed God and had sinned and had brought sin into the world, that just very shortly after that, we have this account that we can see how sin had begun to affect his offspring. And this is something that has been going on throughout the ages of time, from the very earliest of time, that there are those that from time to time will, for various reasons, they have risen up and claimed the life of another person. And God just hates that. But what I want to talk about today, more than anything in these verses, is what took place here with Abel. Now, Abel, he was the victim of the murder. There was jealousy that was behind this. That was the main cause of this happening. Cain was jealous over his brother Abel because of the respect that God had to the offering of Abel, but not to Cain. But God is no respecter of persons. And God did not accept the sacrifice of Abel over that of Cain out of favoritism. He didn't accept that Abel's sacrifice because he was a respecter of Abel himself more than he was of Cain, but God accepted the sacrifice of Abel and refused the sacrifice of Cain because Abel brought to God the proper sacrifice, and he brought it in the proper way. Cain did just the opposite. Cain brought the wrong sacrifice, and he also brought it in the wrong way. And that is the reason that God had respect unto the offering of Abel and not to the one of Cain. But I've always found it really interesting in the language that is used in this. When this murder had taken place, and the Lord had come to Cain, and he said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Now we need to understand in this that when God asked this type of question, just like when Adam had sinned and tried to hide among the trees of the garden and heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day and called out to Adam and said, "Adam, where are you?" We need to understand that when God asked these type of questions of these men, it wasn't because God didn't already know. He knew where Adam was when he was asking him. He knew that Adam was hiding among the trees of the garden. He knew exactly what had happened to Abel. He knew where Abel was at, but he wanted Adam to answer for himself, and he wanted Cain to answer for himself. And so he said, "Where is your brother?" And this was Cain's response. He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And I thought about in that's one of the things, perhaps one of the most hideous things that we can see that sin will actually cause a person to do if they allow it to. And that is that Cain, he lied right to God. Not only to another person, not only did he do something to another person, but he lied right to his creator. Think about that. The one that created him, asking him a question, and he just lied to him. That's pretty bad, isn't it, that a man will lie to God? But you know what? We will, won't we? David, when he had sinned, committed the sin that he had with Bathsheba, David lied and he attempted all kinds of cover-ups to hide what he had done, but he couldn't, could he? And Cain, just because of his response when he said, "I don't know, God, am I my brother's keeper?" he could not hide that which had been done. And this is what I wanted to speak about, that I have always found the language of this to be so interesting. After that, Cain had responded to God in that way. God said unto him, "What hast thou done?" He said, "Cain, where's your brother?" Cain said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And God says, "What have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Think about that for a moment. God coming to Cain and calling him to account for the things that he had done, and Cain trying to hide it. And God said, "But what is this, Cain? Because your brother's voice, the voice of his blood, is crying out to me from the ground over what has taken place." And let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, because there this is explained to us a little bit further and sheds a little bit greater light on it. Many, many years later, and I want you to stay focused today on the thought of what happened with Abel. How that the voice of Abel after his death, God said, was crying out to him from the ground. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." I said today that I wanted to use the title, "Gone but Not Silenced." And that obviously was what had happened with Abel. Though he was gone from the earth, though that his brother Cain had done wickedness towards him and had slain him and hid him in the earth, and though he was gone, yet his voice was not silenced. How do we speak? How do we speak after we're dead? That's what I want you to think about with me today. But I want to share this verse also from 1 John chapter 3, these verses, verse 11 and 12 from 1 John 3. It says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Now, in the offering that Cain brought to the Lord, the offering of the ground, and I don't know what you may think about that, and I certainly always want to be careful to not to read something into the scriptures that God didn't intend to be there. But I'll tell you what, when I think about Cain bringing the offering of the ground, him being a tiller of the ground, when I think about Cain and the offering that he brought to the Lord, it makes me to think that he was trying to impress God with his own works, with the things that he had done himself, where Abel realized that if he was going to have favor with God, that the innocent would have to pay. That blood would have to be shed if he was going to have favor with God, that this animal that he had sacrificed and brought before the Lord. I believe that Abel's testimony from the earliest of times was a testimony to all generations that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Not only did Cain bring the wrong sacrifice, as I said earlier, but he also brought it in a wrong way. And we need to remember this for whatever that it is that we are trying to do, whatever that we are trying to undertake in the work of the Lord, the Bible tells us here that if it is not by faith, God will not be pleased. And so the Hebrew writer here said that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, why is that? Why did he, or how did he accomplish that? Well, he brought the right sacrifice, yes, but the Bible also tells us that Abel did this by faith. He offered it not only the excellent type of sacrifice, but the way in which he brought it to God and offered it was more excellent than that which Cain did. You can read the Bible and you won't find where Cain is praised the way that Abel is praised. The Bible doesn't teach us that Cain brought his sacrifice to God by faith, but it does teach us that Abel did. And God was pleased with the sacrifice of Abel, and he was not pleased with the sacrifice of Cain. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And however that we approach God, if you are approaching the Lord, asking him to save your soul, or if you have been saved and you are approaching God to ask you to help him to help you in some way in serving him, either way, whatever we are approaching God in behalf of, if it is not by faith, then God is not going to be pleased to accept that which we give to him. If you give your offering, even your monetary offering to the Lord, if you don't do it in faith, you know, the church may take it and use it, but I'll guarantee you God won't accept it unless it's done in that way. Everything that we do in order for God to be pleased must be done by faith, or otherwise we just can't please the Lord. So faith by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Think about that. God, when he created us, gave us a voice. And you know, with everything that the Lord has given to us, he wants us to honor him with everything that we have. Honor the Lord with all your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. From the message last Sunday there from the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, or perhaps 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul told them, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, because they all belong to the Lord, and he wants us to honor him with everything that he's given us. And God gave us a voice. And we never use our voice for anything greater than praising the Lord. David said, the Lord brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, placed my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. David said the Lord did these things, and because of that song that he placed in my mouth, I can sing it out and I can praise the Lord with it, and I can let other people know in the singing of this song what it was that the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the miry pit of sin and saved me and placed my feet upon a rock. And the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord are to say so. We are to say so. So we are to be the voice of the Lord here in this world. We are to speak for the Lord. Aren't you glad that God speaks to you? Aren't you thankful from time to time that you can hear the voice of the Lord? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We know the voice of our master, don't we? We know the voice of the Lord when he's speaking to us. When God begins to speak to me, I know who it is. I don't know that by any great intellect that I have or anything like that. I know that because of the relationship that I have with God through the new birth. And when my master begins to speak to my heart, I know who it is that's talking to me. I know his voice. I'm glad that I know the voice of the Lord. You know what? If we didn't know the voice of the Lord, we'd follow the hireling, wouldn't we? We'd follow the wrong one if we didn't know the voice of the Lord. But Jesus said, my sheep, they do hear my voice. They know my voice, and they follow me. But we have a voice. And you know what? I would like to be heard, not only while I live here, but I'd like to be heard when I'm gone. Amen. When I'm gone from this world, because I know one day I will be. When I'm gone from this world, I don't want to be silenced. I don't want a little thing like death to silence me. And we can say, well, how could that possibly be accomplished? Well, the Bible tells us here how Abel accomplished it, didn't he? Through faith. Through faith, God testifying of his gifts, and he being dead yet speaketh. And you know, that was not meant for us to understand that the vocal, the literal vocal voice of Abel could still be heard. That's not at all what the writer here intended, because I'll guarantee you that the audible voice that we have when we fall asleep in death that part of it will be silenced and people aren't going to hear that anymore. But I'll tell you what, I believe that if we will labor by faith, if we will do the things that God has left us here to do and labor by faith, I believe that we can leave an impression upon the minds of people and in the hearts of people. I believe that we can, through the help of God and through faith in Him, that we can influence people to the point that when we are gone from this life, that the things that we stood for and the things that we said and the things that we endeavored to do will speak on to those that will be left behind. I believe that's what Abel accomplished through faith. And I wonder today, have there been those that have passed through the scene of your life? Have there been those that you have known that had such a profound influence and effect upon you while they were here that they're still speaking to you today? You know what I thought about? I thought about so many things. But I thought about when I read this, I can still hear my old grandpa's prayers. I can. I mean, I can still at times things that I heard when he would get down before God and was really pouring his heart out to God, that the way that that influenced me when I stood over his body in 1985 there at his funeral service, those things that he had done, they didn't die with him that day. They're still very vivid and alive in my mind and in my heart today. I can still readily recall sermons that I've heard different preachers preach. There have been testimonies that I have heard people give that are now gone from this world, but the things that they did and the things that they said through faith are still ringing so true in my heart and in my mind today. And I thank God that He is able to ingrain into our memory those things that we experience and those things that we pick up along the way. And God, help us all as we live, that we would live our lives by faith, that when death comes and silences our audible voice, that through faith we would still be able to speak on to those that are to come after us, that they might remember the things that we stood for. It was said this morning that you can either be remembered in a bad way or you can be remembered in a good way. But I'll tell you something, the things that you do for people while you live here among them, the things that you do that were a bad influence, the things that you do that harmed somebody rather than help somebody, they're, you know, with time, they're going to get past those negative things. They're going to get past them. They're going to try to forget about them and get past them. If we influence people in a negative way, they'll try to get past those things and try to forget them. But if we influence people through faith, then those things that we do, wouldn't you like to be able to help somebody even when you're gone? I mean, I want to help people while I'm here. I want to try to help people know what they have to do to be saved. I want to try to help people. I want people to know about Jesus. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them about if they're going to be saved, that they're going to have to repent of their sins and trust the Lord if they're ever going to be saved. I've got a desire in my heart, and I know that you do as well, to help people while we're here. So God, help us that we would live in a way that God will use the things that we do to help people even after we're gone. Friends, listen, God can answer our prayers after we've prayed them and left the world. God can still answer them. Oh, Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is just crying out to me from the ground. This sacrifice that Abel brought before God, this animal that he had sacrificed, that he had brought this blood before the Lord and brought it into him in faith, God testified of that in his behalf. And through that faith that Abel exercised in the Lord, after he was gone, he was not silenced. He was still speaking. Still speaking. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a wonder? Isn't that a comforting thought? That the things that we do here in this life, if we do them for the right purpose, if we do them in the right way, if we do them with the right motivation, if the things that we do for God while we're here are done in the right way, and they are done through faith, that when it comes time for us to die, those things don't have to die out with us. Friends, listen, you and I today, we have a good church. We have a place to come where the truth still is being preached and being promoted. We have a place today where people are still willing to stand for the truth and stand against the deceivers. But you know what? We are reaping benefits today of people that have labored and stood for the Lord, that lived many generations before you and I were here. And as far as I'm concerned, their works are following them. And the persecutors may have burned them at the stake, and they may have cut their heads off, but they didn't silence them, did they? They didn't silence them. They spoke on through their faith to generation after generation. I'm telling you, if we live for God, if we do the things that are right and we do them in the right way, God can use those things to benefit people long after we are gone. And I don't know how long time is going to go on. But there may be those of us here today that, you know, 200 or 300 years after we have left the world, if God allows time to go on, God can still be using the things that we did while we were here. Now you see, Abel didn't accomplish this. He didn't accomplish it by himself, and neither will we. God took what Abel had done, and God used it. God testifying of his gifts, and by faith, and by God testifying of his gifts, he being dead yet speaketh. God can take the things that we do. Did he not say this in Exodus chapter 20? When he was giving the moral law to Israel, did God not say that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me? Well, I promise you, if God can visit them with the iniquity, he can visit that third and fourth generation with the good things also. He can visit them with the good works that we do in the name of the Lord, and people can benefit for years to come. I want to be heard when I'm gone. Not for my own purpose. I'm not here today to speak to you at all for my own benefit. I came to speak for the Lord. And the things that we say for the Lord are so important. I would like to think that they would be heard, that they would continue on even after that we have left this world. So remember that. It's a great blessing to die in the Lord. But after that, the Spirit says that while we're resting from our labors, that our works will follow. And if you do them right and you do them in faith, they will. They will follow you after that you're gone. So I appreciate your attention today. And I want to urge all of you to do what God would have you to do. And whatever you bring before the Lord, you bring it to him by faith. There's one last thing that I feel like I need to do in this service. I want to ask Brother Ronnie, if he would, to get a song ready or a verse or two of a song. I want to open the doors of the church today. If you're here and you have been saved by the grace of God and you've not united with the Lord's church, you need to. You are commanded to. After that we are saved, our first act of obedience to the Lord is to do that very thing, to unite with his church and to receive scriptural baptism. And listen, friend, don't ever let anybody deceive you in this. There are people today, and there have been for many years, that have gotten this concept that they can live just as good, and do as much for the Lord without being a part of the church as they can being a part of the church, and that's not true. That is not true. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. When we are saved, it is through the church that God would have us to serve him. Amen. Through the church, not outside of it. The Lord did not love the church so much that he gave himself for the church that you and I would function outside of the church. We serve him through the church. And if you have been saved, you need to be a part of the Lord's church. So while we sing, if you would want to unite with the church today, we're going to ask you to please come. We receive members by experience and baptism, by letters from sister churches, sometimes by statement when necessary, and also by restoration. So if you have a testimony of salvation today and want to join the church, please come up here with me while we sing, and the church will hear your testimony. God help you all, church. Let's pray.
Number 226. 226.
After I leave for worlds unknown, over the borderline, never again on earth to roam, what will I leave behind? What will I leave behind? This is my prayer, O Lord, today. Let me be wholly thine. When I am called from earth away, let heaven then be mine. Leave behind, yes, leave behind. What will I leave behind? After I leave for worlds unknown, what will I leave behind?
I appreciate your attention this morning. I hope that something has been said that's been a help.